Hello, Queens. How are you? Before we get started, and before I forget to share with you, this Friday, this coming Friday, which is, one sec, what's the date this Friday? Friday the 19th, I'm offering a free coaching call within my free support group, and the replay will be in there as well to access anytime, and also the past replays are in there. So I will pop the link below so you can join us. And it's also a place where you can ask me any questions, share with other ladies, or in fact, do we have any men in there? I don't think so. Other ladies that are going through the same journey as you, at different parts of their journey. It's just such a beautiful place for love and support. And like I say, we have a coaching call this coming Friday. So I'll pop the link below and I'd love to see you in there. So today's episode is inspired by a question that I had from one of my lovely listeners. And the question was, what if losing weight would make me feel better physically? And of course, I'm sure you know the title is very similar. What if losing weight would make me feel better? Thank you for the question, by the way, to you lovely listener who has asked it. And I want to start off by saying that I only have my personal experience to understand where you're coming from, as I'm not in what society considers a fat body. I would describe myself as in between straight to mid-size. And so I will do my best to answer this question with as much empathy as possible as I share my expert opinion within this area. So I don't know if the asker of this question is in a small fat, medium fat, large fat, or super fat body. And these descriptors of different types of the spectrum of fatness, by the way, is how fat activists describe themselves, because fat, as everything else, is a spectrum. So of course, depending on what body you're currently in, it will affect how you experience the world because of how society treats us and the inclusions and the oppression and all that shit that is in prominent in society today. So I want to talk about these different types of fat, just because I found it really interesting how fat activists are describing this, and it might help you or someone that you know as well identify themselves. So these are called fatagrees, which I think is quite a cute play on words. And I got the image that you can't see right now because it's on my website, on my blog, but there's an image on my blog. I got this from this cute website that's called fluffykittenparty.com. And it talks about small fat, and this is US sizing, by the way. So small fat is below a US woman's 18 or 1X or 2X. This is the smaller end of the fatness spectrum. Small fats can usually straddle the line between fat and straight size. They can face medical discrimination and poor interpersonal treatment, but are generally able to participate in public life with few restrictions based on size. And then we have mid-fat, and that is between a US woman's 20 and 24, or 26, wait, she says woman's 20, 24, or 26, or 2x to 3x. So typically only able to shop in plus size stores, with brick and mortar shopping options less frequent, at the upper end of many plus size retail offerings. More visibly fat, they experience more size discrimination in healthcare, at work, and may have trouble fitting into seats and other public places. Then you've got large fat, and that's a US woman's 26 to 32 or 4X to 5X. The end point for most plus size clothing, mostly regulated to online options. This term can also apply to anyone at the larger end of the fatness spectrum, though typically they place closer to the middle of the bell curve. And then you've got super fat and, how do you say that? Infinite fat, larger than a US woman's 32. But also, it's complicated, she says. So, super fat was created at a Nullos conference in 2008 and is meant to describe the largest and most undeserved folks in fat communities. They face significant barriers to access in healthcare, clothing, public spaces, workplace discrimination, and beyond. Infinny fat describes the same group and came into prominence around 2017 via Ash of the Fat Lip podcast. Her wildly circled size chart placed super fat below infinite fat, which is often how it is used. Usage may vary, but both terms indicate people on the largest end of the spectrum. So I just wanted to share that because I don't know whether you want to identify as one of these, but it can be helpful. And as I say, my experience as I'm sharing this is I'm straight to mid-size, but my gosh, I've had a lot of internalized fat phobia towards myself. And when I put a lot of weight on in recovery, it was so hard to get used to my new body, just the way it felt when I moved, the way it felt when I was exercising. It was really challenging because I could literally feel the fat on me and I could feel myself bigger, like physically, which of course affected me massively emotionally as well. The good news is you can overcome and work through all of that and be happy in the natural body that you have. And I just want to also now go into the emotional aspect of feeling better if you lose weight. So of course you think you will feel better if you lose weight. And I will go into the physical aspect of feeling better, but I want to speak to the emotional side first. The world we live in, as we know, it celebrates thinness, and the majority of people, unless they've done this work, presume that fat people are lazy, they don't care about themselves, they're unhealthy, etc. And honestly, it's fucked up and it's not true. There are a lot of thin people who may even identify as lazy, they're not bothered about self-care, they're unhealthy. It doesn't matter the size of the person, it's the behaviors and loads of different layers around that. So they only presume this about fat people because they've been conditioned to believe this, as have you most likely, because I had until I've unlearned all of that shit. So no wonder we think that we will feel better if we lose weight. The fucked up thing is we will most likely feel better if we lose weight. I've been there many times because people celebrate you and ask what your secret is. They admire your discipline and your willpower. They compliment you on your weight loss, right? We know this. And why do they do that? Because they've been conditioned to believe that thinness is the ultimate success in life. If you're thin, then you automatically must have your shit together. You must be happy and energetic and in love with someone who adores you. Because thinness is hard to come by unless you're genetically thin, naturally. And so people spend their entire lives and a fuck ton of money trying to get thin and then stay thin. But the problem is, there is not one proven method of intentional, sustainable weight loss ever recorded. I'm going to repeat that again for those in the back. There is not one proven method of intentional, sustainable weight loss ever recorded. Unless you live with an eating disorder for the rest of your life, or keep restricting your eating for the rest of your life, which in my opinion, at the very least, is living with disordered eating. If you're suppressing your cravings, your desires, if you're counting calories, and if you're constantly moderating yourself, the fucked up thing is society teaches us that this is like normal, healthy behavior. It's not. So eating is supposed to be joyful, nourishable. I've just made that word up. And pleasurable. I did mean to say eating is supposed to be joyful, nourishing and pleasurable, but I like my version better. Eating is supposed to be joyful, nourishable and pleasurable. The good news is though, that when you do the work, and when I say the work, I'm referring to the process that I guide people through in my Real Recovery Roadmap, and that is trauma healing, inner child connection, body image healing, returning home to self-love and repairing and healing your relationship with food. You know, when you've done that work, you know that losing weight will not make you happier because you know that being happy is actually an inside job. It's got nothing to do with your body size because the problem is not your body size. The problem is not your body. It's your thoughts, feelings and beliefs about your body that you've been conditioned to believe. right? And just as I've mentioned, I'm going to be repeating this throughout because it's really key that you get this. There is no way of sustainable intentional weight loss unless you want to live with an eating disorder or disordered eating for the rest of your life. And that shit is not fun, nor mentally or physically healthy either. There's actually a book called The Secret Life of Fat, which is actually quite an interesting read. It's riddled with fat phobia, just FYI, just a heads up in case you decide to read it. But she discusses how fat is way more than just storage, so much more than just storage. And if you want to lose weight and keep it off for good, you have to keep restricting every day of your life, eating less and less over time. She also speaks to the genetic component of obesity and morbidly obesity, which again is supportive of going against the standard obese people just need to take care of themselves, as if it's simply not a choice, or sorry, as if it's simply a choice not to be fat. And my question is it a choice to be fat? No. There are many layers to this, right? As I'm sure you can imagine, everyone is so different. Everyone has different stuff going on mentally, physically, emotionally, in their environment, socially, with money in their financial situation, all of those things. Of course, lifestyle supports health and can have an impact on body size, but not as much as we might think. The most determined factor in body size is, of course, genetics. And when we have a happy and healthy relationship with food and our bodies, only then do we arrive at our natural set point weight, which is healthiest for us. And people often ask me, what about people who eat McDonald's all day, every day? Probably an exaggeration, but you know where I'm going with this, who are fat. And I say, we have no idea what is going on for them. Maybe they're so disconnected from their bodies, they don't know what feels good physically or emotionally for them concerning foods. Maybe they're emotionally eating all the time. Maybe they're only eating for convenience and they haven't been shown another way. Maybe they don't know how to nourish themselves. Maybe they're numbing past trauma as a way to cope. Maybe they're happy eating that way and they don't want to change anything. Maybe they're genetically that size and maybe they have the genetics for binge eating disorder, which actually is completely different from binge eating. And most people get diagnosed wrongly, as I did, because binge eating only happens in response to restriction in the past or present restriction, mentally or emotional restriction. But binge eating disorder, it has to do with the hunger and fullness hormones not functioning correctly. So the person is always hungry. And she actually speaks to that in the book, The Secret Life of Fat. It's not an eating disorder book. It's very fat phobic. But I took a lot from it in my research and, you know, the work that I do. We just don't know what's going on with a person. So would these people lose weight naturally if they healed any trauma they might have? If they learnt, or I say, if they remembered how to eat with intuition, would they lose weight naturally if they regulated their emotions, created joy in their life, and so many other things that I support people with? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. So being fat, it's simply not a choice just to be fat or not to be fat. And just in case you've forgotten, I'm going to remind you again, there's not one proven method of sustainable intentional weight loss ever recorded. Let's go into feeling better if you lose weight then. We're still on the emotional side of things right now, because as you can imagine, this is, I don't want to say more important because that's not true. And again, I speak from my own experience. I can fit in chairs and on plane seats and things like that. But in my experience, and I promise I will go onto the physical aspect of it, it's primarily emotional. The emotional experience you will have, whether you're in a super fat body, a small fat body, a mid body, and you just have a lot of internalized fat phobia, it's the emotional aspect of the things, the shame and all of that. So I've got some homework for you to do. And those of you that are really interested and actually want to deeply improve and transform, I invite you to actually do it, not just listen to it. I would like you to write a list of why you think you would feel better if you lost weight from an emotional perspective. We'll delve into the physical aspect in a moment. this is what my list used to look like. If I lost weight, then I'd be more confident, I'd feel sexy, I'd be more attractive and desired by others, I'd be happier, I'd be successful, I'd be in control, and I'd be better liked and accepted throughout. Now, with your list, I would like you to ask yourself what you're really seeking through those things that you've just written down. For example, I'm going to use the first four off my list to get you started. So if you haven't already, pause this. Won't take you long, just a couple of minutes. Write down why you think you will feel better if you lost weight from an emotional perspective. So I'm going to take the first four off my list and describe to you where I'm going here. And it's only because I know my past self and my current self so well that I'm able to articulate this and get to the root very, very quickly. So these are examples, as I said, take your time going through these kind of questions for yourself, and you might find out a lot about yourself that you didn't realize was going on beneath the surface, okay? So the first one for me, I would be more confident if I'd lost weight. This was my old list. The question I asked myself, what would it mean if I was more confident? I would be able to be more myself without worry of judgment. So my core seeking then was authentic self-expression. The second one, I would feel sexy if I had lost weight. What would it mean if I felt sexier? I'd be able to relax and receive pleasure during intimacy without worrying about what my body looked like to my partner. So my core seeking then was self-acceptance and being able to receive and have pleasure. The third one, more attractive, desired by others. What would it mean if I were more desired by others? I would feel powerful and in control. So my core seeking there, I was seeking to feel empowerment within myself and safety to do with the control, right? And part of this for me was if I had men like running after me, so to speak, not literally, but metaphorically, and I only chose partners who were, quote, I was out of their league or whatever they would say. I did that for a reason, unconsciously, because then I would feel safer because I would be more in control because they wouldn't then hurt me, they wouldn't abandon me, they wouldn't break my heart because they wouldn't leave me, right? So it helped me to feel more in control. It helps me to feel very powerful because, you know, sex sells and a lot of men, I'm just going to say it, think and lead with their penis. Not all of them. A lot of them do. They're different to women. I'm not saying that if I was a man, I wouldn't be having done that either. I don't know. But that's the world we live in. And so to be desired by many gave me a sense of power, you know? So my core seeking for that though was empowerment, which is inner power and safety. My last one with the four examples I'm going to give, I would be happier if I lost weight. Well, what would it mean if I were happier? Well, who doesn't want to be happy? Being happy feels good. Okay, so why would losing weight make me automatically happier? Because I would like the way I looked. Well, why would that make you happier? Because I'd be proud of myself and my appearance. Why would I be proud? Because I'd feel like I'd achieved something that everybody else wanted. So my core seeking was validation and acceptance. So really take the time to go through this for yourself and share with me if you feel like sharing. I would love to hear. I would love to see what comes up for you. And I would love it even more if you would share in the free support group, because you can encourage and inspire and support other people too. And I can be there to celebrate you and ask you questions and all these things. So it's nothing to do with your body, right? Are you starting to see now, or at least be open to seeing, that it's actually got nothing to do with your actual body, how you feel, how you think you would feel if you lost weight, but instead it's all about what you make how your body looks mean about you and what you're seeking. You think you'll get those core seekings via thinness, but you won't, because even if you do, and I did, It's all smoke and mirrors. You're not actually getting to the root cause of what's underneath all of it. So it will be a never-ending seeking via your body size. And maybe you can relate, you know, like, yeah, when I was doing fitness modeling, I felt quote unquote happy and I was validated and I felt sexy and confident and all the things. But actually, that was a false sense of those things because it wasn't my true authentic self that was feeling those things. It was because of a circumstance. It was conditional. So when my body changed through the binge eating and the bulimia, I gained weight. And then I lost all of those things, right? So when we do this work and we develop it from within and we heal and we come back to self-love and self-acceptance and we generate confidence and sexiness and all these things from that place, no one can take it away. If your body changes, it doesn't matter. It stays with you. That's the beauty about this work, you know? It's not temporary. It's not easy. It can be a journey, that's for sure, but it's not temporary. It's for life. And that's the best thing about it, right? So where was I? When you do the inner work with a professional such as myself who actually knows what they're doing to get all of your core seekings met, and only you can meet those, by the way, your life will change in the most indescribable way possible. Your weight loss thoughts, desires will go from I must lose weight, like, and that feeling of like I need to because otherwise I'm gonna die or something. That's how I used to feel. Like I knew I wasn't actually gonna die if I didn't lose weight, but it was this panic that I must lose weight, and it just controlled and took over my brain and my entire life. It goes from I must lose weight and then proceeds to think about this for infinity hours to it would be nice if I was magically thinner, but honestly, who the fuck cares? Not me anymore. Let's the thought go in a second and moves on. That's freedom, right? It's like, wouldn't it be nice to be a millionaire? That would be nice. And then you move on and you get on with your life. You're not sat beating yourself up that you're not a millionaire. Well, hopefully you're not. You know, you're not sat like hating everything you have and feeling completely ungrateful for things you do have. It's just a, wouldn't it be nice, and you let it go, right? That's so much different to where most of you are currently at in terms of your body size. Okay, so let's dive into the actual core of the question then from this queen. What about physically feeling better? So what about if you know that dieting doesn't work, there's not one single sustainable, intentional, proven way to lose weight ever, and that sucks. But what if you know that you would physically feel better if you would lose weight, right? What I would like you to do is a similar exercise as you've just done above, hopefully that you've just done above, and write down about how your life would be better how your life would be better physically in your body if you were to lose weight. And it might look like this. I'll be able to exercise and move my body more freely and more easily. I'd be able to tie my own shoelaces as my belly wouldn't get in the way. I'd be able to have the intimacy I would like without being hindered by my body size. I'd be able to fit in normal chairs in restaurants. I'd be able to run around after my kids. I'd feel healthier. My knee pain would go due to less weight on my joints. Now here comes the shit part, right? Because there's not one proven, intentional, sustainable weight loss ever recorded, regardless of how much you would feel better physically if you did lose weight, there's nothing you can do about that to make it automatically work, to make weight loss automatically work, to make yourself physically feel better. And that's where this really sucks. And I just want you to know that I'm with you in the feelings that you might have around this, the sadness, the shame, the frustration, the anger. And I'm giving you the biggest hug. I've got some good news. I'm not just going to end it there, but I just want to say that even if you know for a fact you would feel better physically if you had lost weight, you cannot lose weight long term intentionally without having an eating disorder for the rest of your life if you're quote unquote successful. The science backs that up. And how much proof have you got in your personal life? How many years of experience have you got that you actually can't lose weight long term and keep it off, right? And that sucks. So just be with yourself through those feelings. And here's what I would recommend. Number one, feel your feelings. Knowing that all you can do is either accept and surrender to what is, or to diet and restrict to perhaps get some short-term relief physically. Please don't do that. It doesn't work, does it? It will bring up a lot of feelings. So I invite you to feel them all. Write about them, have a tantrum, get angry, express your feelings, share with a safe friend. Really allow yourself to be with these feelings. And then the second thing I'd like you to do is write a list, another list, you know, I love my list, of how you can actually support yourself through the first list as much as possible. So I'm going to give you an example for each one, and my above were just made up examples, right? And I'm just going to take a sip of my water. So let's take the first one. I'd be able to exercise and move my body more easily. What can you do to support yourself practically through this? Maybe get some really comfortable, supportive sports clothes and trainers to start with. You can also work on your cardio fitness step by step to improve cardiovascular fitness. You'll be able to improve this regardless of your body size, and then you'll find it easier to move around and stuff. I know if your physical body is in your own way, that won't magically like disappear, and you know, you can have things to support you with that. So I even need chub rub shorts, because in the summer when I'm not wearing tights, my legs love each other so much they just keep touching each other. I got that from Snag Tights website, and this is what I buy, snagtights.com. They've got those little short tight things that stop leg chaffing, and they're a godsend. So there are things that you can do to support yourself. The next one I wrote down, I'd be able to tie my own shoelaces as my belly wouldn't be in the way. Can you get a step to support yourself with this? You know, like practically, can you get a step made at the perfect height, or buy one where you can pop your foot onto so you are able to tie your shoelaces, you know? Another one, I'd be able to have the intimacy I'd like without being hindered by my body size. What modifications can you make with your current sexual partner that are as close to what you desire as possible? I mean, get creative here. There are all sorts of things out there, including sex swings and support harnesses and such like. And I don't actually speak from experience with that. I've just seen movies and websites and shit. You can get stuff like that to support you with positions. So don't just settle for, oh, I would love to try this, but excuse me, I can't because of my body size, or this gets in the way, or I can't move like that. Allow yourself to explore the options and be compassionate with yourself as you're doing so. And remember, what other choice do you have? You can either practice accepting and surrendering to what is, or you can restrict, right? And we know that the second one has got you here. So in a way, you only have one choice, and that's to accept. And from acceptance comes great things, I promise you. Okay. So what about I'll be able to fit in normal chairs in restaurants? Well, can you go to restaurants with fat positive friends who stand up for you and support your right to inclusion? Can you call the restaurant beforehand and explain your concern, or ask your partner to or a friend to, so they can accommodate you? Can you share with certain restaurants or certain places where they can improve to make their place more accessible to people with bigger bodies so that they can learn and improve? I know it sucks that it, you know, kind of has to be your job to do this. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to do these things. And I do these things as well when I'm out and about, because I'm all about supporting this movement that needs to change. Like, people deserve, regardless of their body size, to live a life that they want to live, like a normal life, you know? Next one, I'll be able to run around after my kids. Again, here you can work on your fitness and make adjustments, maybe, like, let's say, you riding a bike if your kids are running a lot, so you can keep up easier. You can also look into circuit training at a gym that you feel safe and happy in. You can even do it at home as well or in your garden. There's loads of stuff on YouTube, but circuit training specifically, it's great for supporting everyday movements such as carrying things, lifting things, doing a bit of running, twisting, that kind of stuff, and it improves strength and fitness. So you can look into that. I would feel healthier if you lost weight physically. So my question to you around this is, what does healthy mean to you? If you want to feel healthier within your body, what does that look like for you? Does it look like eating more fiber, more fruits and vegetables? Does it look like walking more, sleeping more, cleansing your face twice a day and having a little routine with your skincare? Does it look like adding in more protein? Get clear on what healthy really looks like for you, and then start to make small steps towards implementing these into your life without restricting. So when you're writing your list of what healthy means to you, notice any diet culture bullshit that's creeping in, any rules, any shoulds, because restricting doesn't work, as we know. It's all about adding in, not taking away. Human beings are just not built to restrict and sustain from things. So add stuff in. So as a result of adding stuff in, like fruits, vegetables, fiber, protein, if that's what health means to you, you might naturally eat less of the other stuff and you might not. It's not about that, right? It's about cultivating that feeling of feeling healthy within yourself, because healthy isn't a body size. It's a feeling physically and emotionally that you can support yourself in creating. So for me, healthy looks like getting enough sleep. That's number one for me. Having my skincare regime twice a day. So, you know, taking my makeup off, washing my face, doing my serum and all that jazz. That feels good for me. That's healthy for me. It looks like eating vegetables or fruits at every meal when it makes sense. Sometimes if you just want to eat a brownie, or this morning I had some I just fancied some porridge with loads of honey. Actually, I did have a banana actually, so I added fruit in there. But this isn't a rule. This is for me, when it makes sense, add in vegetables, add in fruits. When it makes sense, always eat protein at every meal and potential every snack if it makes sense. Sometimes I want a brownie. I don't want to be adding any fats and proteins in, and I thoroughly enjoy the brownie. Again, it's just for me when it makes sense. Healthy to me looks like moving my body by at least one walk a day. I have a big dog anyway, it's easier for me. By walking 2 to 3 times a day, you know, at a pace that suits me. It looks like going to the gym and working out 3 times a week. So I love that and I feel strong and keeping my fitness up and all these things. So what does healthy look like to you, right? And the last one I gave a suggestion on was my knee pain would go due to less weight on my joints. Do you absolutely know this to be true? Or would your knee pain still be there if you lost weight? Because thin people have knee pain too. What can you do to support your knee now? What physio can you do to support it? And how can you take care of yourself? So in summary, whether or not you would feel better physically if you lost weight doesn't magically make weight loss work. And that sucks. And I'm fucking sorry about that. I really am. And you can support yourself as much as possible through the physical discomfort, as we've just discussed and gave examples above, and you can support yourself to work through the emotional stuff. You can be fat and happy and live an incredible life. Just take the likes of Virgie Tovar, for example. If you don't know who she is, oh my God, go and check her out. In my blog, I've linked these people I'm going to recommend for you now. So Virgie Tovar, she's a prime example. It's like so many like her, like Reagan, Chastain, be inspired by these badass, confident and fat women. And Brie Campos, who she goes by the name of, oh my God, literally it's gone out of my head. She's on Instagram, I've linked it too. Brie Campos is another great resource for body grieving and body acceptance in a fat body. So feel your emotions, express yourself, be kind to yourself and choose to live in the real body that you have today, because life is such a gift. Let's not waste it. And I know it's easier for me to say because I'm sat here in this body and I'd want to keep, you know, validating that and making sure you feel seen and heard, that I'm not having the same experience as you. But life is such a gift, and we're only here once in this body anyway, in my belief. So what are we going to do? Spend our entire lives trying to lose weight and then keep it off, knowing that we have however many years of evidence that that doesn't work? Or are we actually going to go out there and truly live and practice surrendering and accepting the real life body we have today, right now, and embracing that and living our life anyway, like these incredible women, these incredible fat and super fat women that I've just referred to. So definitely go and check them out. All right, my love, I hope this answer to the question really helped, not only the question asker, but all of my other listeners, because of course it's the fear of fatness, not always, but is a big part of eating disorder recovery, the fear of that, regardless of what body you're in currently. So sending you all so much love. Any questions for any podcast, please let me know. I love questions, and I'll see you next time. And don't forget to join my free support group. We've got a free coaching call this Friday. The recording will be in there, and I'll answer any questions you may have. Much love.